Diane and Luca represent an ovarian cancer survivor looking to obtain custody of her previously donated embryos. Maya is the victim of a fake social media account. Mike Restiva pays a visit to Reddick Bozeman and Costland. Episode 4 of The Good Fight, henceforth known as Property, starts right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, welcome to episode 4 of The Good Fight here at AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, Drexel Hurd. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram and everywhere at Drexel Hurd. And I'm back with the panel. Hey.
Hey, guys. I'm Sarah Serio. You can follow me on Twitter at Sarah Serio.
Hey, everybody. I'm Al Gregg. You can find me on Instagram at Algie_JamaicaHouseFilm and follow me on Twitter at SoundClashCine.
Hey guys, I'm Jesse Zahner. You can find me all over social media at Athletic.
Are you a beautiful liar like Mike Restivo?
I don't even know if he's beautiful.
You're just a liar. Yeah. That Mike Restivo is a liar. Back. We'll talk about Mike Restivo here in just a little bit. Matthew Perry's character is back. Make sure to follow AfterBuzz on Twitter at AfterBuzzTV. Use the hashtag ABTVGoodFight to join the conversation. And if you're in the chat room, hello from us.
Yes.
Here. And leave your comments below because we do like to read them. And
we do
want your feedback on what's happening in Cook County. This episode, what'd you guys think of it?
Yeah. It was very simple and a little more tame from the previous episodes. I'm not saying I didn't like it because of it. I just thought my brain focused more in on this episode.
Yeah, I totally agree. The last two episodes were so packed with information and just everything that I was worried we weren't going to be able to get through them in our last after show. This one I feel like I can deal with what happened.
And they kind of let the plot breathe a little bit, and I started kind of like identifying with Maya a little bit more.
Oh yeah, it was very kind of Maya focused, which is good. Which is it's kind of, I just noticed your ring. It's so pretty from over here.
Oh, thank you.
I got distracted. Did you see that? I was like, oh,
my God.
Okay, I
want to
thank you. because in The Good Wife, it was so Alicia focused. Mm-hmm. And in this show, we automatically assume that this show is going to be either Christine Baranski, Diane Lockhart focused.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, she is the crossover, really the main crossover for that show. But this was a really great episode for Maya, for us to get to a little more backstory into Maya's personal life, which we'll talk about in just a few moments. Justin Bartha, who plays Colin Morrell, was added to the main cast credits.
I don't know if you guys saw that. I noticed it.
Remember we talked last week? We said if somebody like that's on the show, chances are they're going to be sticking around for a little bit. So let's start talking about what happened to Maya in her personal life. We started the episode out. She's on the elevator. People are like talking to her about, like, she has no idea what's happening. Have you ever like?
Can I ask, what did the first woman say to her? Because I did not catch it.
Something about a water bath.
Okay.
I don't know what the exact quote was. It was like, put it in a water bath. Or
and
I'd like
rewound
that.
It like 3 times and still didn't catch it. So I was like,
that's
moving on.
The only two
on.
Words I heard were water and bath.
And I kept getting caught up in the old Negro spiritual playing in the background. It was really surreal.
Reddick Bozeman and Costland are playing Negro spirituals.
Oh, that old
or
church.
Or as
on.
Ben Carson calls them, immigrants. Sorry, I had to put that in there. And then she like reduced sugar content. So it was all about.
Yeah.
So come to find out that there's a Twitter bot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Posing as Maya.
I know.
How did that, like, what did, like.
Her acting was so great. I genuinely felt like she was so confused. She was like, I feel like I'm missing something today. And I was like, girl, you look it, and you are, because I felt so confused watching it.
Yeah.
I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, I thought it was good. What did you guys think of, like, this Twitter bot situation?
Well,
I don't know.
I've heard of Twitter bots, and I've heard of fake accounts, but this is the first time they actually kind of laid it out, like, how it works. And I guess he had started a photo stream. Her ex, Maya's ex, and actually, we get to, like, later on, puts the nudes up of her. And then it was just kind of like this self-fulfilling thing, which keeps creating and rolling out tweets. And then it catches, then I guess other parts of the media catching it, and it starts building stories around it. It's crazy. But just because the fact that I've been in, and I've had some back and forth in social media and on Twitter, so that stuff isn't fun. I immediately felt bad for her.
So her ex-boyfriend Ted, who's a photographer, has these photos of her. How did you guys feel, especially the lady, how did you guys feel about Ted, like, going to the length that he did to try to, like, that's a lot of work for an ex who you, obviously, their relationship didn't end like he wanted it to, but he also had a lot of current personal information, so it was like, are you stalking her?
Well, like, and he has, like, a girlfriend or something.
Right.
So I'm like, why are you wasting your time on your ex at this point?
At first, I thought that he was a part of the, like, the fallout. Like, yes. He had some money things, his money tied up in her and stuff like that. But it seemed very personal.
One thing I did catch is that he said he uploaded those photos 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, that's just the fact that people go to those lengths, that's bonkers. I mean, but there's a lot of people out there now. That's... I mean, what comes with the internet is people, they can show their worst side but hide. So,
I didn't like it. Simple as that. No, I just didn't. I just felt like he was very hostile towards her and still was just upset at the fact that she's a lesbian, because that's basically what it came down to.
Bingo, that was it. His ego is her. Oh, is this your girlfriend? Because
that was it.
Yeah. Right.
And then Marissa was just like, looking at him like, what maybe if I am?
Yeah. I love her.
And I think that people forget, like, we open this show with Maya and Amy's relationship as a lesbian relationship, but we also see that Maya has had relationships with guys. So Maya might be the B in the LGBT, and so we might start to see that part of Maya's relationship with Amy come. Maybe, I don't know, I'm just throwing that out there. Maybe that might be a strain on their relationship at some point, where Maya feels like, you know, is she going to parlay with the guys at some point? How does that affect her relationship? What do you guys think about that?
I didn't even think about that. That's interesting. Yeah, because, I mean, this is like the first time that we're introduced to him. Yeah, so I don't know what to think, but I just can't believe... I still am stuck on, why are you still messing with your ex-girlfriend when you have a girlfriend? Right. Like, move on. Like, I can't get over it.
He even said that, though. He was like, I've moved on. Like, I found someone else. It's like, have you?
Yeah.
I don't think you have.
Right. And then even to at the end, and he was like, if you stop yours, I'll stop mine.
Yeah.
Like...
Well, so here's my thing.
So, like, then why did you start in the first place?
So these articles, like, is he writing these articles?
Apparently it's... Go ahead.
Yeah, from what I understood is, like, okay, once the photos get out there, and he made this Twitter bot, which starts putting out the photos in the feed, then these other advertisers start catching her feed, and that's some weird thing on canning came up. Like, she likes canning, you know, whatever, so vegetables. Weird.
You don't can peaches?
I don't know. Yeah,
no,
I didn't know
about... part of your daily routine.
Yeah.
It's what we do here in Los Angeles.
I didn't know that.
We can kale.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, I guess it gains traction, because especially around the scandal, you know. So then they start making the link, okay, that she's a lesbian, and start throwing this real foul stuff out there.
That's why I said it got really personal. It was like current personal stuff so somebody had to have known. Like, it couldn't take on a... What I didn't understand was how it took on a personality if she didn't have a Twitter account in the first place. Like, if she doesn't have as much of a social media presence, because she didn't really talk about it, or that wasn't a part of, like, their conversation. Obviously, she probably has a Facebook. But, like... That was a little bit weird. Like, it said it took on a personality of what
it is, really
an alternate
weird
personality. So that was a little weird to me.
And I think he definitely used her name at some point in time. Right. He just didn't upload the photos like anonymously. He's like, this is such and such and such and such.
So people watching,
help us out.
Tell us how this works, because I don't want a bot.
No,
I don't want a Drexel bot. You just follow me on Twitter at Drexel Her. Thank you very much. And then you can find out what I'm saying. But I don't want, like, Drexel. Heard Drexel, and then you guys think it's me. It's not. And I don't
you
think
need
you
to get
don't.
Verified.
I got
to
get verified.
I know.
Twitter,
I don't
get on it.
I
want the blue
either.
Check. I want that. What do you guys... Okay, so this is the second episode where we saw the Marissa and Maya duo.
Yes.
And they team up again.
Eminem.
Ooh, M&M.
Let's should bring those and eat those. Oh,
please
time.
Do. Yes, yeah. That's a great idea.
My God, we should every time they team
M&Ms.
Up, we should bring M&Ms on the show.
We should throw them into each other's mouths to see if we can catch them.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey.
And that'll be the
yes.
I love it.
starting the game.
Yeah. What do you guys think about this teaming? Like, I like this. First, they go into the house, and then they're kind of doing this yes. espionage, and now they're going after the brother, the Ted.
I know. I want to be their friend. Like, they are so cool. They are so fun. Like, I love them together.
I'm glad Marissa's on the show.
Yes. Yeah. I love her. I think she's great. She's probably one of my favorite characters. Mm-hmm. I say everybody is, but, like, I really love her. Like, I love everybody on the show, but I love her.
Her confidence is just so amazing.
Yeah.
I want to emulate her.
Yeah, but she can back it up too. Like, she will say something and she'll go do it.
But
so what,
and on top of all the confidence and how plucky she is, but when she's trying to go like spy and sieves and she knocks down the picture, like exactly. That's her. Yeah, she's super smart, super
but
confident.
Still got it done.
But yeah, kind of clutzy. Like, she got like an Eye of Lucy streak.
Yeah, she's like,
she
are you good? And she's like, yeah. And it's just like, fixes the painting.
Yeah. So the end of that is Ted comes into the law office and Adrian is there and he kind of stands up for her.
Yes. I loved
and
that.
I loved that moment too. Because he was like, I don't even know who you are.
Yeah, I really like, yeah, because beginning. He said that and then he did that, which that's ball. I was like, wow, why is he coming into her office? Like, who does that?
Well, I mean, people, that's why I said in the first episode, remember when that guy like showed up?
Yeah.
And I'm like, he just kind of showed up.
These places are secured. This is just...
I feel like it's not like any normal... Any, like...
But then what's the receptionist desk there
for?
Yeah,
right?
If you could just walk in and do whatever you want to, what are they doing
there?
Well,
if you notice... I feel like every time that happens, the receptionist, whoever that girl is, she always makes a face. I feel like I noticed it in this episode again. She's always just like...
Yeah, she's
always doing
right
something, so we need to pay attention because she's just
place.
Like, oh. Like she doesn't do anything.
I mean, I guess what do you do if somebody just rolls up past you? Like, what? A stop? Like,
a good receptionist would. Like, sir,
who are you here to see?
No joke. When I used to be a therapist, there was a client that came in and he tried to leave my office before I was letting him go because he had to come see me first and then leave. And I literally had to go back in the hall, grab him by the shirt, and bring him back into my office.
See, she'd be a good.
See, so they might want to hire me.
Yeah.
They do. Reddick, yes. Bozeman, and Coslin.
Get out.
We have a candidate for that.
I have someone.
Boss right here.
Get out of my office.
So Adrian says to her, at this firm, we stand up for each other.
I loved it.
And I loved it, too.
And that kind of reminded me of the moment that Barbara and Diane had in the office as well.
Oh my gosh,
I
wrote that
really
down.
Good.
I loved it too.
Yeah, that was a great
just
moment.
That I liked it because Barbara was very standoffish at first.
Yes.
And of course it wasn't like, oh my gosh, we're best friends now. But I felt like it was
yeah, they had like this deep moment.
It was a good like first moment for them to kind of let whatever they had hostile towards each other go. Yeah.
And we talked about in the last episode where we said the moment that Barbara lets her guard down with Diane is when the rest of us will let it all down.
Mm-hmm.
And so like it was like a wash over, like, oh thank God. But I don't know how long that's going to last.
Yeah, like when I was watching it, I didn't feel like it was like Maya and Diane coming into this like firm. I just felt like it was like they were a part. It just felt like that was all of their firm.
Right.
When I was watching this episode.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely becoming more organic this time around. They're starting to like work as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, three episodes in, you know, after the pilot, you know, they go away for a few months, they shoot it again, and then things are rewritten, and then maybe this is where they're like, the Diane Barbara thing isn't really working all, you know, because now they have a different conflict that they have to worry about, which is Mike Kristeva is back. That is Matthew Perry's character. He is from The Good Wife, if you are fans of The Good Wife. He had his conflict in The Good Wife with Alicia. And then, you know, Diane kind of caught wind of that. We first see him in Adrian's office. What was your guys, as new fans of the show, what was your first impression? First impression, this is not like what happens later, but like first impression of Matthew Perry when he goes into Diane's office. Where were you guys? What would you guys think about him?
I was like, why is the guy from Friends on our TV right now? No, but
I thought that too for a hot second.
But I mean, first, right off the bat, I didn't have any like initial thoughts. But when I saw Diane in the other room looking, she's so smart. I was like, okay, this guy's clearly up to no good.
And we were talking about how when she tries to give Adrian the heads up, and he's like, yeah, I got this, I got this. And, of course, he burns everybody. But from the time he went into Diane's office to have that little meeting, it's kind of like I saw the wool, like, slowly mm-hmm. slipping when it starts hitting the fangs, like the wolf in sheep's clothing. Mm-hmm. That's what I kind of felt, especially when he started getting into the death of his son, because that's serious stuff, but there was something about
even
it.
Then it was authentic.
It didn't seem authentic, you know.
That's why she Googled
right,
it.
Right, exactly.
She was smart, yeah. And I was like, that is so smart.
Who would use their own son like that? It's a true fact, but still use that to trap somebody in a lie.
And to me, people. And maybe I was thinking like way too into it, but that website even seemed very sketchy to me about his son.
Oh,
it just
chum chum.
Maybe I was thinking way too into it, but I was like, this website doesn't seem very official. It feels like something that he could have like had people make up just to make it even bigger than what it needed to be instead of being so personal. He came in looking charming, but I knew what he was up to.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Chum Hum, because Chum Hum is the Google of the show that was from The Good Wife, mm-hmm. and they used it extensively because Diane's firm represented the Chum Hum account, basically.
Okay.
So they used it. However, this was the first time, as far as I know, and people can correct me out there, that we heard Reddit. We had an actual website on the show.
Oh, yeah.
So they used it at one point. But yeah, and I think from having watched the shows, like those websites from Chum Hum all look like that.
Oh, okay. I think I was just reading it way too into it, but I just felt like everything was fishy once he was introduced.
Yeah, mm-hmm. because.
So I was just like,
oh. And I thought Diane was going to, if that was the case, I felt like Diane would have looked it up some more, looked a little deeper.
Right.
But she took it at face value, and you know, it is what it is. But and how sad of a story that is, mm-hmm. That his son, you know, had that. And his son, again, that was a story from The Good Wife as well.
But just once you hear the word Reddit, I mean, you know, like I'm a TV nerd, so like sometimes I'll look and see what's going on with certain shows. But I had no idea Reddit has this reputation for having like these deep, dark rabbit holes of racism and paranoia and conspiracy. So
it's
I
like
mean,
the comment section of the YouTube.
There you
of,
go.
Not the YouTube, Jesus. The comment section of the Yahoo articles. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I didn't
everything.
Know they had this weird underbelly, so that's immediately like a red flag to me.
I tell you, like I do the political shows. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard to read those comments. Mm. You don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And to get into the comment section, do not go into the comment section of an article. You will never come out the same again.
Mm.
Because people are nuts.
Now I want to go read them, though.
Do not read
before
them.
Before you go to bed.
Literally,
like your mind will
never tell me do
nightmares.
Not, because then I have
you're
to do it.
Like,
and now I'm going to go
And then you're going to respond.
Yeah. Of course.
And then you're going to be like,
then I'll be up
oh
all night.
Mm. Yeah.
I'll come in next week like a mess.
You're going to be like,
what were you
guys,
doing?
Look at this comment.
It's
going to
be a Reddit
yes.
show.
It's
going to
be a Reddit show.
With M&Ms.
Yes.
Send us M&Ms, guys. So Mike Restiva, he goes in wanting, because he just was appointed as special counsel, I think to the U.S. attorney, to oversee police, what we think is police brutality, mm-hmm. and curbing police brutality, which we know that the Reddick, Bozeman, and Coslin, that's their, what did they say, like 30% mm-hmm. of the annual income is in police brutality cases. Mm-hmm. And come to find out that Diane's instinct was correct.
Yeah.
And Mike went in. They get served subpoena. Hot subpoena guy was back. That subpoena guy is also from The Good Wife.
Mm-hmm.
He is always there. So fans of The
Shout
Wife.
Out to
Shout
you.
Out to hot subpoena guy.
Yeah, how do you become the subpoena guy?
Well, there's a thing called central casting.
Yeah.
And
okay, good. I want to be the subpoena guy.
Oh, perfect.
See, look, I can be the
no.
You can be
the
receptionist
and the subpoena guy.
You never served somebody? Have you ever gotten served? Like served somebody?
No.
Like, you can serve somebody?
I've served somebody before, but like but it was like it was like a friend of mine.
Was it so fun to serving somebody or no?
It was
like you've been served.
It was like you got served.
Boom. Peace.
But I said it like you got mail. It was more like you got served.
I like that. You sound exactly like it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So like you just the law office. I mean, usually it's pretty much the same people, but you know, because they want it to be like, you know, slick.
Yeah, but then if you see the same guy that serves you, then you know to look out for him. Do they dress in disguises?
No, they just dress in like hoodie like that guy.
Critics, they dress in disguises.
Or, you know, if you're on TV shows when it's like the Chinese food delivery guy.
Yeah.
And he like brings your Chinese, but underneath it's your subpoena.
Yes, that's like, what I that would do. Yeah, I'd get creative.
It's that
like
shady
that.
Stuff.
Yeah.
But or you look in the sky and it's a big thing up there, you know, the plane flying overhead. You got served.
That'd down. Be a. Great way to
yeah,
that'd be awesome.
I'm gonna start serving my people like that.
Yeah,
you should.
Just don't serve me.
No, I won't.
Thank you.
But I'll just say you.
I feel like if someone was like you've been served along with the letter, they should bring you food
for sure.
Because it's like,
what are you serving?
When someone says served, it's
now
like, can I have French fries?
Send them
M&M's.
M&M's.
Service
M&M's.
M&M's.
Back to that.
Yes.
It always circles back to M&M. Yeah. It will always circle back to that. So Mike Restiva serves him. And then Luca, who also gets served for whatever reason, which I thought was really weird that Luca got served because she's not a named partner.
Yeah.
Mm. And Diane isn't either. So then it goes to the fact of why, what is the motive behind going after this law firm? Mm-hmm. Is it because Diane is now at this law firm?
Right.
Because as we know, the relationship with Mike Restiva started with Alicia, and then Diane was kind of there, kind of in the crosshairs and different things like that. And now Mike Restiva's back, and now he's going, like, where did it come out of left field? And that's what Luca wanted to know. So then she goes to boyfriend Colin. Which I thought was a really cute scene.
Oh my gosh, I loved it.
The bar scene.
Yes,
I hope they do most of their scenes in bars.
And give it up for Colin. Colin's got game.
He does.
Yeah.
So does Luca. She does, yeah.
Together, yeah.
I know.
It's going to be good.
I loved it because she was talking to the bartender and then she like cut it in half. She was him in the previous episode. Like what she even said was exactly what Colin said in the episode.
I think I want to ask. I want to ask the audience who you like better, especially the Good Wife fans. If you like Kyriakos better, or if you like Colin better, let me know.
Kyriakos,
I want to know.
Colin.
Is it Kerry or Colin? They're both C's.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, that would be interesting.
I can't wait to hear.
What you guys think. So Luca goes in. They do this. Little flirty thing. And then she asked him, like, what's Mike Restiva up to? And you asked it before the show, like, who does he work for? And I think he works for the U.S. Attorney, the U.S. Attorney's office, and that's who the boss was. So Colin and Mike both work for the U.S. Attorney, and the U.S. Attorney's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I want to get the right stats, and I want to do this. And that's how he convinces the U.S. Attorney to let him give him a little bit of leash.
Right.
Did you guys believe? Like, I feel like we could either like that might be part of his motive, but he might be sticking it to Diane.
I mean, right at that point, I knew it just wasn't all about like getting down the numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, and obviously it's personal. And as somebody who's new to the show and didn't see The Good Wife, it's really interesting to see it develop. So, I don't know. That got me kind of hooked. But, yeah, I didn't trust him from the start. And right then, he's like, oh, yeah, well, we're working on it. We're working on something big. Totally vague. And, man,
right.
That kind of stuff should be. That's scary.
Right.
No, I think he's doing both. I think he's going after Diane. But I also think that this happens, too, where they're trying to shut down this firm that, you know, does these cases so that the case numbers, the stats go down. But I think he has a reason aside from that also to go after Diane.
Good. Yeah, I just think he said about the whole stats and everything. He like found a way to make it still be a case without showing what his underlying
Yes, I totally agree.
What do you think that his relationship with Colin is going to be like? Because you see the look on his face?
I liked Colin because Colin was in there and he was like trying to be like, I don't think that's the right way to go about it.
Right.
Do you think that I feel like Mike is going to find out about Colin's relationship with Luca?
Yes, totally.
And he's going to use that against him.
Right.
I feel like, yeah.
Yeah, they definitely planned that they're going to have an adversarial relationship. But yeah, but I worry about that too.
I feel like in some way, maybe Colin will help Luca in some way get information or something. And then it's all going to crumble and blow up, probably. That's what I'm thinking.
That's what I'm thinking. I don't know what's going to... I mean, that'll be really interesting to see how their relationship develops. And let's see. So that's Matthew Perry. Matthew Perry's on the show now. And he is the main antagonist. And no more David Lee. Not no more David Lee, but like David Lee was like a pretty big antagonist. Mm-hmm. Other than a couple other characters in Goyf. But yeah, he's a good one to have come back. So the main case. Mm-hmm. Fertility case. Family law within the family law division. Lake Drive Fertility Clinic, or the formerly Lake Drive Fertility Clinic, versus the Reddick, Bozeman, and Coslin client, Laura. I didn't catch her last name, though.
Solano.
Laura Solano. What did you guys think of that case? It was very deep.
Yeah.
It was.
And relevant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they took it, you know, they have so many current issues, but I mean, like, the whole idea of, like, the embryo and once it's fertilized and who does it belong to, but I just love the fact that the wrinkle they threw into it is that the egg, correct me if I'm wrong, but the egg had actually already been fertilized, mm-hmm. but she still wanted it back. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she's, like, waiting in the door, in the courtroom, like, okay, the next guy, see, that's going to be, like, the father of my child. I just thought it was crazy.
I know.
Imagine that.
Did you see him walk up in there? Yeah. I didn't, like, it just made me sad. Well, at first it made me sad, and then I was happy for her. But it just made me, the judge, I didn't really understand him at first. Because he was, like, needed just it to be, like, the statistics and, like, the stats and everything that's true. And it wasn't anything of what, like, Diane was trying to make it to be about, like, life and, like, what it actually was representing. And that if she didn't want it, correct? The woman who was, like, had it at first, if she didn't want it, then they were just going to destroy it completely. Right?
Yeah.
Wasn't
right.
that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were just using... Mrs. Solano's egg just
for stem cell research,
genetic material, yes.
Yeah,
which is a hard topic because it became a life. It either became a life case like Diane was interested in, or a property case like the other lawyers were mm-hmm. really interested in.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the judge like. If you get caught up in the emotion of the case,
mm-hmm.
it you know it's like a juror. Like, if you get caught up in the emotion, it's very difficult to look at the facts. And as the directions, being a juror, the direction is, these are the facts that are presented to you, and
right.
you have to go by the facts, mm-hmm. and you can't necessarily go off emotion. But we're not built like that. Humans aren't built like
right.
that.
Yeah.
So I think it was very difficult for the judge to be like, yeah, I hear you, Diane, but this is not a life case. This is not a matter of, yeah, she really wants that child. 12
right.
of her eggs were destroyed. Yeah. After 5 years, which I thought was, you know, a really interesting, little hole that they had, which was you can't, after 5 years, like, the name was changed. She couldn't have her, like, she couldn't find her eggs. I got bounced back and forth. And then, like, who owns this?
Yeah.
And there was one egg left.
I know.
Yeah, I loved how the judge, you could tell he was kind of struggling with it too, because he's mm-hmm. like, I hate to have to refer to it as like a piece of property or like a car. But yeah, it all came down to the, and maybe you guys can help me with the name of this act, innocent property purchaser, or when you buy something that say they could be stolen.
Oh, the innocent purchaser doctrine.
There you go. When you buy something that, you know, you didn't know what happened with the previous owner and you have no idea. So you're innocent at that point. And that's eventually why he was leaning toward her. He was leaning toward giving the egg back to the to Mr. Height.
Right.
Oh, I didn't like him.
Oh my God.
You didn't like Mr. Height? Oh yeah. We'll talk about that in a second. Judge Stanek was also from The Good Wife. So a lot of these characters, they are bringing back because it's mm-hmm. New York, because they film in New York City. So it's easier to get the characters that we love from The Good Wife onto The Good Fight. But I thought this case was just really. It was really tough to watch because you could see that that Laura really wanted this child no matter what, no matter even who the father was.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there was that moment where she walked in, she's like, the next guy that walks in here is going to be the father of, you know, my potential child or whatever.
That's such a crazy, like, when she said that, I was like, that must be such a weird moment. Like, think of being her and standing in a courtroom and being like the next man that walks through.
Did you think it was going to be somebody she knew?
I don't know who I thought it was going to be, but I definitely did not picture it being this guy.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like a younger guy, like hot guy is going to walk through and mm-hmm. she was going to want like not just the kid, but like some type of relationship.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like a big mess, but it would make sense if it was somebody she knew. Cause at first I was like not sure what her intentions were and if
right.
she was lying, I don't know. It was kind of weird to me, but when I saw it was him, I was like, oh good Lord.
I thought it was either what you had said, like a younger hot guy that she went in a relationship with, or it was someone that she knew.
Because it would linger, because the camera lingered for a second. Me off.
It did, yeah.
And I was like, oh, snap, we about to see somebody we know. It's going to be Judge Abernathy.
we're going to
be like, oh, my gosh. It's going to be Cariago, so we're going to be like, oh, Carrie's back.
Can I just say, side note, that doctor that Diane and Luca had to talk to find where the egg was so funny.
What?
Luca, with her voice, she was like, can you just tell me why it's confidential? He's like, I don't take lunch until 10.
Yeah. And that was great. That was great for his character because he reminded us of what Howard Lyman's going to be like maybe a couple more years from now. Like this person that you just is losing it. I thought you were going to talk about the hot doctor that they talked to later, like at the clinic.
Oh, well, no.
Who I was like, who is that guy? I was like, what is the guy from? I've seen him before. He's actually from Guiding Light. But I was like, what is he from? I can't figure it out. But yeah, that actor is from Guiding Light. Whose property does it belong to? So after that whole case, like, who would you guys have sided with?
The woman, right?
Well, I mean, there were two women.
The girl.
I mean,
because the other woman wanted a child,
right?
But she didn't want to go through the regulations that America posed on stem cell research, having a child, and things like that, which I think is really cool because we don't, if you're not interested in that world of stem cell research, stem cell research can save lives.
Yes.
But we don't know, like, the parameters around that and where the other countries are. And I think this is a really cool way to say, well, here's what London is doing, mm-hmm. and here's what England is doing. These other major countries, and America's lagging behind on in terms of utilizing stem cell research in the way that it could be.
Mm-hmm. And maybe somebody can break this down for me. I know it had something to do with the price or what they bought it for. Mm-hmm. So how does that configure into the whole equation? Why the price they paid?
Well, that was the second. That was the second reason. The first reason was a medical reason. The second reason was the price reason, which was that because that was the tactic that they had to use was, oh, well, if it's over a certain threshold of British pounds,
which it was,
you can't make that sale.
Right.
But the first was a medical issue that the United States that there was a regulation. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it was, so somebody will have to jump in on that. But yeah, that was just a really good, solid case, which again brought in the Diane and Barbara moment,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Which was really good. There was one part I want to just jump back to Colin and Luca's. We saw a little bit more personal because, like I said, now that Justin Bartha is a part of the show, we have to get into his character a little bit more. And so we had the moment in the bar where they talked about Colin's past with his therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about, which was a funny way to get to the end. Like he made this joke about, my therapist did this, and he said, I need to give up something for a year. And oh my God. This is his way of asking her out on a date.
Right.
But why didn't he just, it's 2017. Why do you have to get through all that?
To me, that was game. I loved how he made it seem he was this dangerous sex addict, and he just turned out to be he couldn't have the milkshake for a year or whatever. I just thought that was funny. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. I did too.
Where did you guys think he was going with it? I had no idea. I was
sex. I thought him and Luca he just wanted to hook up with Luca or something. But they have this, they play the same game in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like he has to come off like that because he can't just give up his pride and be like, oh, let's go out. You know, they have a little thing going.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah. I'm interested to say that.
So would you go M&M's? On a milkshake? Would you go on a milkshake date with him?
Yeah, I
would. Because I sure as hell would.
I sure as hell would, too.
I love milkshakes.
I don't know what you guys' type is now.
Is his milkshake bringing all the girls to the yard?
Yeah.
I mean, I just like milkshakes in general. But, yeah, I would go with him, of course. Yeah. But, yeah, I want the milkshake, mainly.
Definitely.
I love milkshakes.
But I don't know where this conversation is going. What kind of milkshake do you want?
Oh, my God. I'm going to lose my
You want
headset.
That Justin Bartha milkshake?
Yeah.
Or do you want that carry? Chicago's milkshake. Let us know which milkshake.
I'm going calling because I don't know.
Let us know.
But see, if you watch the Gilmore Girls,
yeah,
he's from Kerry Argos.
Who is he in Gilmore Girls?
What's the
part?
What is the actor's name?
What does Lord he play?
Knows. Well, I don't
know. Hold on.
We are very interested now.
Matt Kuski. He plays, I don't know, he's this guy. He's this guy. Who does he play on the Gilmore Girls?
Oh, that's Rory's boyfriend, later in life. And I think he's actually
Logan. He plays Logan.
I would still choose Colin.
I don't like Logan, so I'm choosing Colin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, by proxy of another show, you don't like that.
Yep.
Wow. Well.
Yes. Speaking of actors that are in other shows, the lawyer that Diane was against is from Girls. That's the mom from Girls. I love Girls.
Oh.
So we get a lot of... Yeah.
Do you not like her either?
No, I like her. She's cool.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So she can stay.
We'll keep her.
But she not can Logan. Stay. He can
Girls
leave.
Can stay. Gilmore can Girls stay. Can yeah. go. Yeah. So many G's.
And like we said, I love how much more we're getting into Maya's past, because I think the past is going to start to come back to haunt her.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a main case show, or my main case, I mean, the bigger case, the Rendell case. We didn't see Bernadette Peters. Didn't see Maya's dad and anybody like that. So, not even come up in this at all. This is all about Maya mm-hmm. and how it's affecting her, which I thought is really cool. And then, so I'll be really interested to know if Reddit, because they talk about Reddit picking up Ted's baggage, mm-hmm. how much longer this harassment of Maya is going to go on from an online standpoint.
Because it was still going on. She's like, how come it hasn't stopped yet? Right. But it's like, it's still going.
Yeah. I feel like Reddit goes on forever.
And then she was like, you just need to let it go. Yeah. And then it didn't make me feel good. Because I was like, yes, Maya, like she shut her laptop. I know it's hard to let things go sometimes. Yeah. But I was like, you got it. And then Matthew Perry was like, we got to just dig deeper. And when he said that, and that little girl came in with, like, the fake news
story, yeah.
It's just like, do y'all literally believe these fake news? And can you just bring people that into, like, a courtroom and be like, evidence? It's like, no, it's like that... What?
My biggest problem was that he's on this huge fishing expedition, and I wonder about the legalities of it, you know, but...
Because you could see the board Reddick was like Adrian's face, Barbara's face, mm-hmm. Diane was
just looked like
there.
A Criminal Minds episode. Yeah, like who murdered who? Yeah. And it's like, no.
And I wrote down, what does Mike have against Reddick Bozeman? Is it about Diane?
Mm.
That's going to be interesting.
That's just
to
what
find
I
out.
Thought. And I was like, ugh.
I knew when he had the board that it was going to be something to do with Maya because of just everything going on in her
life.
She's
the weak point, I guess.
Yeah. And she probably didn't know this was going to happen and doesn't know, like, which way to go and, like, how to deal with it, so.
And you know what that takes us to? Some predictions. About what she said yes. Yes. Predictions.
This is how my fingers get a workout for the week because, look, I always do this. They're losing weight. Not really.
We should do that every show, too, like. Predictions. Okay, so what do you think is going to happen with the case with Christevo and the firm?
I think they're going to bring some fake news stuff up with Maya.
Hashtag
for sure.
Fake news.
Yeah, I really do think that they're going to bring that up. I mean, obviously they are looking into it. God, I don't know. How much do they know about her dad or like her parents?
But it's not even
case?
About them. It's not even about the
Rendells. Yeah, but if you noticed in, like, when it says to come on the good fight. The good wife. Yeah. The good fight. What's his name? Christeva is in the room with Maya's dad.
Yes,
and
exactly.
I was like, what is about to happen? I feel like so much is about to unfold, and it's going to, like, piss us off, but it's going to be so good.
Yes.
Like, it's going to always leave us like, ah!
Yeah.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Am I the only one who feels like you can't totally trust Maya's dad?
Oh, yes. No, I don't trust him
yeah,
as far
no,
as
I
can.
I don't think you can. No.
You can't trust anybody in our family.
That Christeva guy, man, he is rubbing me the wrong way. Like, I'm not liking him.
He's fishing hard.
Yeah, and it's like, how is that possible?
Well,
that's just what upsets me.
Yeah. You guys, just to do the tie-in to today's news, if everybody's been following, you know, all it takes is for say, for instance, like our current president to say, I believe that the last president was wiretapping me in my calls.
You know what happened?
There's absolutely no proof, but he just says it, and it picks up and gathers steam.
You know what happened?
What happened?
Maya tapped Trump Tower.
Oh.
And that's why she's being followed, and that's why Mike or Steve is there.
Now we got it.
It all makes sense
it
now.
It all comes together.
Before we go, we have a comment. Kuro Dog, I hope I'm saying that right, I don't know, but has a prediction that Colin is going to end up saving the day somehow.
Oh. I hope so.
I hope Nine so. Shining I like armor. Colin.
Hopefully he can bring us all a burger.
Hopefully he doesn't have a hangover while doing it. Let's bring up some social media stuff, some things that were said on the Twitter feed and in the comments. First tweet up is from... Who's it gonna be? Is it gonna be? Oh, it's Annie at now, NOWISATION. She says the good fight's use of fake news in the latest episode was infuriating to watch. It was too real. Uh-huh. That is the truth.
Yes,
very true.
Who's next? Bryce. Gillifan at Bryce Gillifan said, I was brought to literal tears tonight by a blazer worn by Dan Lockhart on the newest The Good Fight. I have outgayed myself. She did have that green blazer that was like really good.
Yeah.
And from the comment section on the YouTube, Trump supporters, Teresa Stewart said, Trump supporters are triggering progressives just by their presence. This is what the older black gentleman was alluding to with Julius from the last episode, Ken from the last episode. That is so true. But I mean, because I get triggered every time that I think
I
of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
It's very
depressing.
When
I read that in the comments, I was thinking the same thing.
When I saw that, I don't know, maybe I'd get a little too offended, but I was like, I'm reacting dispassionately to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Dispassionately or passionately?
Dispassionately. I can call something out and still be wrong and be dispassionate about it. Everybody ain't got to be triggered.
That's so funny. Leave your comments below because we'll always use them. And like I said, use the hashtag #ABTVGoodFight because then you could see your tweets on our show and we can give you a little shout out. So next week we'll be back with episode 5. I don't even know what that episode's title is going to be because they only give us once at a time.
No.
So if you are just watching this show and you don't have a CBS All Access Pass, make sure you're getting that CBS All Access Pass so that you can watch the show with us.
Yes.
Where can they find you on the Twitter?
Hey guys, I'm Jesse Zahner. Thanks for coming by. You can follow me online at Athletic. I almost said my name. Sorry, Athletic.
There you go.
It's late.
Follow me, Al Gregg, at Soundclash Cine on Twitter and IG Algae _ Jamaica House Film.
Thanks again. I am Sarah Serio. You can follow me on Twitter at Sarah Serio. And for more fun, follow me on Instagram and Snapchat. Hey. That's at S Serio.
And I'm Drexel Hurd. You can follow me at Drexel Hurd on Instagram and Twitter. Check out Political Culture tomorrow night. Chelsea Galici is going to be filling in for me. And Mr. Al Gregg is going to be on the show tomorrow night. So
check it out
at 6 p.m. on Black Hollywood Live. And we will see you all again next Monday.
See you guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.